The first scripture I'd like to read in your hearing is John chapter 13, just one verse, 34 and 35, and then Genesis 45, 1 through 8. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Genesis 45, 1 through 8. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. And he says, "I am your younger brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are five more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord to all of his household and a ruler over the land of Egypt." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. We've been in a sermon series called Let It Go, and today is the finale. I know some of you are saying, "Ooh, I'm so tired of forgiving." But it's been a good thing to take the journey, to look into our own lives, to examine where we are, and to be all that God wants us to be. Amen? Because sometimes not to forgive creates a block, a spiritual block in our lives. And so as I was working on the sermon this week, I wanted to find a poem of some sort to help me with this. And I couldn't find any. None seemed to fit. So I created my own. So bear with me. Forgiveness is necessary. It's called letting go. When I think of being forgiven, I think of being driven by the Spirit of the Lord to lower my pride and kneel to the floor and ask God Almighty to pardon all for sinning and to give me strength to forgive others. This can be my new beginning. I learned not to keep a list of wrongs, faults, hurts, disappointments, frustrations to an overflow, but yet, mostly, I learned to just let it go. I learned that forgiveness was for me and not for the other, and not to become a self-contained prisoner, but to forgive and to forget offenses one after the other. These reflections are real and are worthy of meditation. Today, my emotions I regulate, my freedom I celebrate. It is in this moment that I elevate and levitate to be all that God desires for me to be. Darkness has left, and my life light glows. I'm no pro, but I know that in order to be set free, I must let go. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we ask for your presence. We ask that you would come and fill us with your light. We ask that you might open our ears that we might truly hear from you. And that's why I ask that you would hide this preacher behind the cross that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Lord, I'm a broken vessel, but I know that all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking once again with the thought, let it go. Let it go. This story about Joseph is a beautiful, beautiful story. And it's a beautiful story because it doesn't start out that way. This story starts out with Jacob having 12 sons, I think, in total. And Joseph was his favorite. How many of you know that having favorites in the family doesn't work too well? It's just, it causes a lot of grief. It causes a lot of damage in a family when you favor one child over the other. Even in the workplace, they say, no, well, we're not going to show favoritism, but we'll treat everybody the same. And I wonder even then if we fall into a problem because somehow we don't take an account of a person's uniqueness. And so in this story, Scripture says that Jacob favored Joseph over all of his other children. And this made his brothers angry. It says that they hated him. It means that they reviled him, they loathed him, they despised him. To Joseph, he was just a despicable individual, unlovable. That's pretty tough for a family member. Just think of that. But this was the damage of favoritism. But Joseph didn't help. He was 17 years old. God had given him a vision. And sometimes God reveals something to us, but maybe you ought to keep it to yourself until God tells you to tell somebody else about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And Joseph had a big mouth. And you could imagine his brothers already feeling a certain way towards him because of how Jacob treated him. And Joseph shares that, I had a dream. And in my dream, all of you are going to bow to me. I don't think this really helped Joseph's cause. And so sometimes when God gives us a vision, it might just be for us for a period of time. But then God has to take us through the fires and down in the valley with some floods and some testing to see if we would really stand the test of time to fulfill his vision. This had not yet been born in Joseph. So in my opinion, Joseph spoke too soon and he spoke too much. Scripture says that Jacob sent Joseph into the field to just check on his brothers. And his brothers saw him coming. They said, behold, the dreamer. Let us slay him and see what will become of his dreams. They didn't say, let's play a trick on him. Let's beat him up, you know, because that's what big brothers do. They said, let's kill him. Somehow they began to talk amongst each other and said, we can't kill him. So they threw him into a pit. And then they sold him into slavery. They killed an animal, put blood on Joseph's clothes, and took it back to Jacob. And Jacob mourned greatly. He became depressed. I look at this story and I go, man, his own brother sold him into slavery. So over the years, Joseph spent time in slavery. Over the years he was imprisoned. Over the years he was accused of things that he did not do. And all of those years he was abandoned from his family. I mean, if anybody needed to be bitter or could become hard and jaded on the inside, it was Joseph. I mean, all of these things happening to him. You know, that's how we feel sometimes. When bad things happen to us, we become jaded. We become hard on the inside. But what I want you to notice in this story, Joseph never became bitter. And he never abandoned God. God was with him every step of the way. And he became second to Pharaoh. And a crisis hit the land. There was a famine in the land. You know, sometimes crisis can bring us together. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I could ask right now, where were you at 9/11? And many of you can tell me where you were. It was a crisis that brought us together. So Jacob sent his sons to go get some food because of the famine. And Joseph saw them coming from afar. And he recognized his brothers. And through a series of events, he got them to reveal what they had done to him. They didn't recognize him. And you could imagine. I mean, even as I was reading the story, I'm like, man, Joseph's going to give it to him now because, hey, you know, it's like 20 years later. He was 17. Now he's like 39 years old. Man, I've been waiting for this day. Woo-hoo-hoo, I'm going to get him. But that's not what he does. He told his brothers to come closer, and he revealed himself. And he hugged and he kissed his brothers and he wept so loud that people heard it. He says, don't even be angry with yourselves about what you've done to me. What you meant for evil, God meant for my good. He loved his brothers. He forgave them and he was reconciled to them. What are you holding on to this morning? What do you need to give to God? What do I need to give to God? Who do I need to be reconciled to? It's a good question. You see, in Joseph's life, God was his constant companion. And he never gave up on God. Is God our constant companion? One that we can trust in the good times and one that we can trust in the bad times? Hello. But Joseph was an exemplar of forgiveness. I thought about Nelson Mandela being in prison for 27 years. For his objection to the apartheid. Tortured for many of those years. Living in a small cell that just didn't even have a rack. It was a mat on the floor and a bucket. For 27 years. And in 1990, when he got out of prison, called for forgiveness, not revenge. And he was even reconciled to the prisoners who had treated him poorly. In prison for 3 decades, and forgiveness was on his mind and his heart. What do we learn from that? That God had to be real on the inside, or he couldn't do it. Is God real on the inside for us? And I believe if God is on the inside of us, then we have the power to forgive. we have the ability to be reconciled to another. Now, I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I do believe that it's the right way. When I think of being forgiven, I think of being driven by the Spirit of the Lord to lower my pride and kneel to the floor and ask God Almighty to pardon all for sinning and to give me the strength to forgive others. This can be my new beginning. I learned not to keep a list of wrongs, hurts, disappointments, frustrations to an overflow, yet mostly I learned to just let it go. I learned that forgiveness was for me and not for the other, and not to become a self-contained prisoner, but to forgive and to forget offenses one after the other. These reflections are real and are worthy of meditation. Today, my emotions, I regulate, my freedom, I celebrate. It is in this moment that I elevate and levitate to be all that God desires for me to be. Darkness has left my life. My life light glows. I'm no pro, but I know that in order to be set free, I must let go. Let us pray. Would you join the hands of the person next to you? Father, we need you. We need you to come by and sup with us. We need you to live and rule and reign on the inside so that we can be your people, so that we can love one another. Lord, I'm so grateful that you said love one another, because sometimes, Lord, there are people who are hard to like. We may not like their ways, but you told us don't worry about their ways, just to love them. And that's how they'll know that we are your disciples. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that your word will not go void, but it will accomplish what it set out to do, that has already attached itself to all of our hearts, and that we will examine ourselves and ask, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to be reconciled to? What must I let go? Father, we thank you for Providence United Methodist Church. We pray for all of the leadership in this place. We pray for our young adults who've come back from college to be with us, and we pray a mighty blessing on them as they travel back. We pray that you would bless their focus and their time at school, and before you know it, even that portion of their lives will be over. Lord, we pray for our sick and shut-in and ask that you would be with them even as you are with us right now. Pray that you might touch a heart. Pray that this message today, Lord, that those who've heard it might share it with someone else. And when they share it, they'll talk about your power that lives inside of us that can do the impossible. And now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.